As a heads up to our Google Podcast listeners, the service is shutting down, so be sure to migrate somewhere else you can get our show, like iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. This episode is brought to you ad-free thanks to all of our wonderful patrons. You can get tons of exclusive content and help us keep the show going by joining at patreon.com/shonenflop. Welcome to this episode of Shonen Flop, where we talk about manga and Shonen Jump that didn't make it big. I'm David.
I'm Jordan.
Next week, we'll be covering Martial Master Asumi. If you'd like to read along with us, be sure to join the discussion in our Discord and submit your six-word summary. Find a link to the Discord in our episode description on our website, shonenflop.com. But we are not here to talk about that today. This week, we are talking about Killing Me, and we are joined by the wonderful Voidburger, a.k.a. Jess.
Oh my god.
Hiya.
Yo, what's up?
What's up? It is earlier than usual than I talk about bad anime, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's usually save that for more of or 11:30 kind of situation. So we appreciate getting up a little early.
Yeah.
Rise and shine. Talk about the bad anime. But yeah, I'm Jess O'Brien. You might know me from Skull Tenders, which is a newish, I don't know, it's getting on in age soon, maybe. D&D actual play podcast that is like super edited too much by me. And I'm on Twitch, I'm on YouTube, all that stuff. I was on Giant Bomb for a spell, and that's me.
They might also know you from your Nightmare Before Christmas Let's Play.
I've done a bunch of random Let's Plays, yes. I know a little too much about Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, gosh. We've had a bunch of vintage Let's Players on. We've had, Chip Cheesum, Grant, I think he doesn't like using that name anymore. And then, Jordan, there was one more. Who was it?
Slow Beef?
Yeah, never heard of that.
Oh, there you go. There, I was going to be like, Slow Beef, right?
Yeah.
I think you might have heard of Chip Cheesum. I don't know.
I might have married him, yes.
Whoa, sorry, Jordan.
Yeah, damn, he's off the market.
I know, sorry, everybody. Got him, grabbed him, bagged him.
I think this is the first married couple we've had on the podcast.
Married people don't read manga.
Yeah.
They got adult stuff to do, like taxes.
Oh, God.
Oh, I gotta do my taxes, shit.
Am I the only one who did their taxes as soon as they're available? Because that's how you get your, this means you get your money back sooner.
You're the only one here who went to business school, David.
Wait. You get money back from taxes?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. No. Not to brag, but I got a check for $11 from the IRS this year.
What? That's a fortune.
That's 11 burgers off the dollar menu.
Oh, that's not a thing anymore. McDonald's is way too expensive for my blood.
Yeah.
But Jess, we are so excited. And also, Jordan, I think this is a very special episode, because what is it?
This is killing me.
Jordan, this episode 100.
Oh my god, yeah, what? Episode 100?
I'm on episode 100.
Yes!
Do you want any soundboard noises for
sure.
Victory purposes? Okay.
What you got? Woo, yeah!
Our editor loves inserting that shit too, so he's a son of a bitch.
I have a lot of really stupid ones though, and I hit the wrong ones all the time, so you're lucky it actually was the one I intended to use.
What's your favorite one? I have to know.
Let's see, is it? I really wish I had one of those ones that had labels on it. It's just a mystery. Let's see if it's this.
It's gonna start reading off Jess's social security number.
Let's see if it's this one. If it's not, I'll tell the editor. I love eggs. That was it.
Yes!
Yeah!
That was it! I did it!
I love it.
Hell yeah. It's like a fucking audio hyperfixation of mine is I love eggs. Oh, there's also Squeepoo. I don't know if Squeepoo is on here. I got them both right. Three fucking soundboard things right. This is a lucky day.
You are a pro in your craft if I've ever seen it.
I'm on fire.
I gotta say, I watched the stream that you and Josh did of Final Fantasy VII. By the way, listener, Josh is Chip Cheesum.
I was about to say, who the fuck is Josh?
Yeah.
Jordan's just on first name basis with Chip Cheesum. He's that cool. I assume Jess actually is, though.
I hope so.
I sometimes call him Chip. My parents sometimes call him Chip.
Oh my god.
They knew he was Chip for so long. Yeah.
I remember the greatest audio sting ever was when Sephiroth stabbed Aerith. Oh, spoilers for Final Fantasy VII, by the way. And then just the Crash Bandicoot sound played that exact moment.
Someone in my chat had was from the future and knew exactly who hit play on that soundbite so that it synced up and it was like literally a pixel perfect. The instant the sword went through her body, happened.
I feel like Chip was really mad about that.
He was so mad because then immediately after they played, I have a really long, soundbite you can play that. That's the song from Total Distortion, When You Die. It's just this big You Are Dead song, and it's like 3 minutes long. Just like, oh, fuck.
I think let's move on. The one last comment is, have you two seen the Windmill Kids video where it was like this British, this like clip from a British television show for kids that went viral for some reason?
No.
I don't know. Can you describe it?
And it's like this really cheesy, and there's a part where they're like all dancing and it's super campy and they all go, woo! And I was showing it to Rachel and I'd seen it so many times. I said woo exactly when they did, and she just turns and looks at me and she's like, why did you know exactly when they were going to say that in this video?
Because I've seen it a bunch.
Yeah, she was just like, you've memorized the timing of this really stupid video.
That's not hard to do.
It's actually because David was one of the kids in that clip. Yeah,
I was actually, yes. I was born in 1965. You got me.
That is not, it's not hard to do. I don't know. I memorize things that sound like stuff all the time. As a kid, I memorize all of Nightmare Before Christmas. For example, that's why I know too much about Nightmare Before Christmas. I just know it off the top of my head all the fucking way through and still do.
Oh man, but unfortunately, as much as I'd love to talk about the Nightmare Before Christmas, we do have to talk about this manga, so why don't we migrate into that?
All right, so let's get into the manga details. This is killing me. It was written by Enma Akiyama. Notable people they had as assistants was Hikari Komaru, who was actually an adult comic artist.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, I was gonna say, why doesn't that shock me?
That's fine.
Yeah, live your best life. But Emma's other works include Killer in Love from 2020-2022, 5 volumes in Manga 1, that is one all capitals, a chance connection made between college students escalates into murder, violence, and intimidation. How far will a man sink for love? Thank you, Maxie B. Another work of his is Noah is My Senior and My Friend, starting in 2023, still going, 2+ volumes in Weekly Young Jump. This is about an exceptionally normal guy, Rihito, now let me tell you, isn't normal just a setting on the washing machine, forms a close friendship with a senior at his game company, the buxom human train wreck Noah, who maintains a cool appearance at work, but is in reality a huge dweeb prone to embarrassment and tears. I know what that's like. A very cute and funny series, personally recommended to all listeners by Maxie B, our comic historian, Jess.
It sounds like Akiyama got better at this?
Perhaps?
This has happened a few times where we've read authors that created, like, not great series and then knock it out of the park. Like, a big one is Amalgam of Distortion was not very good, and this current series, Dragon and Chameleon, is, like, legitimately one of my favorite things I'm reading right now, where I'm like, the art is way better, the plot is way better. I'm just like, how did the same person make both of these?
Yeah, or, you know, Instant Bullet to Love is War is the big one.
Probably a much better example.
But yeah, Killing Me ran in Comic Kune. It is a seinen manga mostly known for 4 Koma. I don't know what that means.
Those are those 4-panel gag comics.
That makes sense.
Like Pop Team Epic, yeah.
Yeah.
This is famous for 4 Koma and a good bit of Yuri. What? This ran from September 27, 2017 to May 26, 2018. The series it replaced was Choco Basket by Kasu Komashiro. And the series that replaced it was Shōan to Hibi by Asa Kawayoshi, which was not a planned replacement, just a coincidence of timing. Okay. A series that started at the same time as it, well, 1 month before, as Maxie B says, was Bento Yabayo Minase-san by Dark. Just named Dark.
Dark.
Edgy.
If he teamed up with one, they would have a very ominous team name.
Oh, the God. Dark one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That'd make a 4-koma gag comic.
I would absolutely read a 4-koma gag comic by one.
He'd call it 4.
Oh, Jesus. Another series was God Chans by Yukiwo, and It's Tough Being Nico by Alda Hyde. Mr. Hyde wrote that. But this series, Killing Me, ran for 10 chapters, only got 1 volume.
Ooh, woo.
Oh, yes. Arguably 10 chapters, arguably 1 volume.
Yeah.
But let's get into the fucking plot summary for Killing Me, because it's killing me. such a long manga with such a plot. This manga, if I would describe it as one thing, certainly it has a plot.
It was the One Piece of our generation.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's vampire lesbian One Piece.
Oh, that'd be good. Saki is your average vampire hunter schoolgirl, of course, yeah, whose classmate Miyoko is in love with her. Just one problem, though. Miyoko is a vampire! Oh, no!
Get out.
What? Saki and Miyoko regularly fight, with Saki using her special vampire fighting weapon, a gun, to fail to hit her, while Miyoko just drinks Saki's blood. Saki catches Miyoko trying to suck the blood from another girl and gets insanely jealous, tearing her away, Popcorn David.
Miyoko says some creepy shit about how she only likes young girls, and Saki will eventually stop having tasty blood. Saki gets mad at her for being selfish, which, like, yeah, I guess that's one thing wrong with it.
I guess.
Yeah, Saki is convinced her inability to kill Miyoko is because she's being controlled by the vampire. I guess she doesn't know about hormones. Miyoko, however, says she doesn't have that power. She's apparently too young to have mind control abilities. Damn, I wonder what it is then. A vampire hunter named Chiharu, which knows Saki, shows up to kill Miyoko and is horrified and confused when Saki saves her. Popcorn Jess.
Oh. She then attacks them at school, attempting to stab Miyoko, but Saki steps in front of her and blocks the knife with her forearm. She tells Chiharu that Miyoko is her prey and only she gets to kill her. And Miyoko kisses Saki and tells her that she hopes she keeps trying to kill her for a long time. And then in some extra stories, Saki bites Miyoko's neck, which makes her blush and fly away. And Miyoko also discovers, after looking through some pictures, that she actually met Saki years ago when Saki was like a toddler and yeah. helped her find her parents. And it's like, wow, the red string of fate. And it's just like, ew.
I guess it would be creepier if she did remember that was Saki.
Yeah.
But it's still weird as fuck.
It's treated like, oh, it's cute. How cute is that? Their fates are intertwined. It's like,
I've been watching you this whole time.
We run into this problem with every vampire media that takes place in high school. It's the question of, like, why are you still in high school, dude? Aren't you 400 years old?
Yeah.
Don't you hate this? Why are you hanging out with kids all the time?
Let's get into talking about the characters. So, Jess, do you mind telling us about the main character, Saki?
So we got Saki, who is the taller one, seems to have darker hair also and longer hair. She's got a gun, got knives too, I think. She is like a perfect student, but I think the other one is actually smarter. She's the vampire hunter and wants to kill Miyoko.
Or does she?
Or does she? Or does she?
She's a tsundere.
Textbook.
Everyone is tsundere in this series.
I don't think Miyoko is a tsundere. I think Miyoko is very much aware and open about her feelings to Saki.
There's another word for the one that's like really bubbly and obsessive. Is it like seme or something?
Yandere?
No, yandere is when they're crazy.
Yes, she's crazy.
She's pretty crazy, David.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, seme is I think that's a yaoi term.
Yeah, I think seme and uke is yaoi stuff for top and bottom. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Today I learned.
Yes. Oh, man. Imagine if these guys had massive hands.
Just imagine it.
Just imagine.
Wow.
Oh, I love how there's a moment where she like fires a gun in the nurse's office at school. And the nurse is just like, shh.
They got a different culture over there with guns than we do, I think. Guns in school.
Guns in school, yeah.
They're super fictional in Japan, and over here it's just like, haha, oh. Mm.
Could you imagine? Oh my goodness, what fantasy. Anyway, as David has mentioned, she is very confused by the concept of hormones.
Yeah.
And believes that the fact that she is into Miyoko is clearly due to mind control.
Mm-hmm. Which vampires do a lot of.
To be fair, yes.
Oftentimes, yeah. That's not an unfounded conclusion.
Not completely.
Yeah. No.
All right. And then, Jordan, do you want to actually tell us a bit more about the vampire lady?
All right. So this is Miyoko Kujo. Extremely aggressive. Very much is constantly going after Saki and like kind of too much and just being like, oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. And it's kind of like, do you? Because she's just love bombing the shit out of her.
Nothing is healthy about this relationship.
Nothing is healthy about this.
She's teasing her at best.
She says that she's a young vampire, which makes it seem like, oh, she's only 100 years old versus 400 years old.
Frieren meets an elf that's much older than her and says that you are young, but Frieren is still 1,000 years old. So it's all relative.
Yeah, Miyoko is very much, I must drink your blood. Oh, man, you give you the tastiest blood. Until you get past your prime, until you hit the wall or whatever. And it's, that's gross.
Yeah.
Miyoko, you're gross.
Who's the real predator amongst these two makes you wonder.
It's never fully confirmed whether Miyoko actually loves Saki or views her as
just her blood.
She says at one point, I don't view you as food, Saki. Whereas, I don't know, her actions seem different. I don't know how reliable she is.
Well, I mean, because she's like a yandere, it's hard to tell because they do just sometimes be acting like this, where it's like somebody who has like an obsessive crush is like actually just harassing the person a lot.
And then they tie you up in your basement.
Yeah, because they love you so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They bite you, suck your blood, ignore your denial of consent for that stuff, whatever.
That is just yandere bullshit, yeah, man. I don't know what to tell.
Such yandere not bullshit.
And you know who's got a lot of bullshit is that last character.
Well, hold on, because I want to say the fucking rules for this, these vampires and the sunlight.
Well, she wore sunscreen.
She wears sunscreen, whatever.
And has a parasol.
She's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it does make sense that it's like she's young and she's 400. If being a vampire is that easy, you don't really have to worry about the sun and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it goes by what we do in the shadows, where you lose your resistance to the sun as you get older as a vampire.
Oh, I need to watch that whole show. It's really good.
Me too.
But yeah, did they actually explain why she was in school in the first place? Because wasn't she in school before Saki enrolled?
Saki came to this school to kill me because there's a vampire at it or something?
Yeah, so she was already in the school.
Yeah. Saki's like the exchange student, I think, in this scenario.
I just assume it's like Twilight rules where she moves every year or something.
She moves to Forks, and yeah.
That's fair. But it also means that she only goes after like 15-year-olds.
But that's if Bella was a vampire, huh?
Better book, honestly.
The last character is Chiharu, who she is a newbie, so she's kawaii, but she genuinely is actually trying to kill Miyoko.
Yeah.
So we actually get some good, strong, positive Vampire Hunter representation in this.
Finally! God, that's not in media enough. It's a problem, I feel.
I feel she would wear that shirt where it's, I'm not tsundere, I actually hate you.
Good shirt. I've never seen that shirt.
I'll get it for your birthday.
Yeah, there's a lot of implications here that Chiharu is also in love with Saki.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Because Chiharu is very like, you know, it's that kind of like senpai, kyodai.
Yeah.
Do I respect you or do I love you?
Yeah, she's also unaware of the concept of hormones, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's just a fun teen trope to do.
Yeah.
I'm doing that in Skulltenders, Christ's sake.
Whoa, spoilers.
It's a fun angle to be like, I don't know what I'm feeling right now. What is this? Whoa, internal conflict.
Whoa. Oh, man. Shall I get into what it failed? I was trying to figure a way that doesn't sound like I'm passive aggressively insulting Skulltenders. Be like, on the topic of fakes that are not well written. No. In Bizarro.
In Bizarro World. It's opposite day.
Yeah, where we have existing sandwich instead of Foyt burger. I don't know what the opposite of a burger is. Fucking hot dog. Yeah, existing hot dog be like. I have a badly written D&D character. All right, let's get into why it failed. Foyt burger, please kick things off.
Why it failed, I don't know. It's just boring.
Yeah.
Not a lot happens. I also feel like it doesn't have, I don't know, like when you start reading a manga, it's good to have like a cold open thing where it's just like, whoa, what's going on here? I need to read more to find out. And it just feels like you just know the premise immediately. It's just like, oh, okay. There's not like any intrigue to this,
no,
you know, to grab me. And it's like, yeah, it's like a fluffy Yuri thing. I probably shouldn't expect that shit. But my comparison point for fluffy Yuri bullshit is Cardcaptor Sakura, so I'm spoiled, right?
Ooh.
I'm just like, oh, well, maybe some more characters show up, maybe they have conflicting motivations or anything. It's just like, no, not a ton happens.
This series reads like a fanfic of another series.
It does, actually, yeah. You know what it reminded me of? This thought occurred to me in the middle of the night last night. Aha, Eureka.
Eureka.
Ooh. Interesting.
That's a good name for a series about lesbian scientists.
That's a podcast name.
But I was thinking, like, what does this remind me of? And it struck me like lightning. It reminds me of being a kid and into Invader Zim, but I couldn't watch Invader Zim. So I read fanfic of Invader Zim. And there was so much fanfic of Dib and Zim having this relation, the same fucking tsundere / yandere relationship. And I was just like, oh my God, everyone was doing that. That's what was happening there. I didn't like that. I was just like, okay, that's really out of character. I don't think Zim would.
Jess is like, I didn't like that.
It sure didn't come up a lot, though. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel like the easiest way to say the issue with the series is, and this is going to sound really pretentious, but this doesn't have any like je ne sais quoi. There's just an emptiness where there's just not, it's like when you eat something and it just doesn't have like any fat in it. It tastes kind of off, or it's like when you eat like one of those diet foods and it's like, you can tell what they had to strip out to make it a diet food. So it just doesn't feel like you're getting full by eating it.
Yeah. There's no intrigue. There's no like plot, and there isn't even like that many like sexy moments either. So it's just like, why am I here? Yeah. What is this? Who's this for?
I can read this in public. What am I doing?
Yeah, I can read this in public. Who's this for?
Well, you know, we mentioned plot a little bit, and as to that I say, what plot? There's nothing here. Yeah, it's cotton candy, the manga, basically. I feel like the author towards the end was like, oh, fuck, I never introduced a plot.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Vampire Hunter, save him.
Please don't cancel my manga. Oh, too late.
Too late.
Well, apparently the series did not get canceled, but we're going to learn more about that as we read Maxie's notes.
Ooh.
Also, they don't really have any vampire rules. A big thing is Miyako comes into Saki's house, which is like one of the most famous things about vampires is you cannot just break into someone's house. So I was like, did you actually give a shit? I get dropping things like the OCD, but that's like the thing that I would say is in the top three things people know about vampires.
Yeah, that's up there.
I didn't even pick up on that. It's true.
It's like sunlight sucking blood and can't come into your house.
Yeah. And this girl's going to regular ass school.
It's also, how does a vampire hunter not have like a vampire proof house on top of that policy, too?
Yeah. Why isn't there garlic in every single threshold of her house?
It shows like the lack of shit this author actually gave about this topic.
No, like in the first chapter, she's like, she can't get to me now. I'm wearing garlic and have a cross around my chest. All right, it's time to eat. Let me take both of those things off while I eat. Like, what are you
sloppy
doing?
Sloppy work.
Sloppy as fuck.
Imagine if it was 800 IQ and she was eating garlic in all her food.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, sloppy, I think, is a good way of putting it. And it's just like the offer clearly just ran out of steam, which is a shame because we'll talk about it in like where it could have gone. But there is a lot of interesting space of making a cute Yuri vampire cotton candy manga.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like by taking out a lot of the restrictions that come with vampires, you're like killing a lot of interest, because having that kind of friction is important in like anything interesting. It's like, oh, how are they going to overcome this one thing? There's nothing to overcome in this, really.
Chibi guesses where they would get in a relationship and like she would have like a Helsing like parent, and the problem wasn't that they were lesbians, the problem was that one was a vampire and that was going to be the joke.
Romeo and Juliet sort of style thing.
It just seems so like obvious, but they didn't even try to like, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit the series didn't even try.
It's really weird that they introduced her mom for a single panel and like it never got brought up again. It's like, oh, but there was a whole different character. Can we go back to that? Who was that?
Yeah. And that counts, Jordan. For the record, that counts. She has a Van Helsing parent.
Okay.
Yes. We score our guesses in our GB episode.
We score our guesses. Yeah. I mean, there was a brief, they were like, oh, they're star-crossed lovers, you know, and this like their family's not going to like this or something. And then nothing happened. I don't know. Maybe that would have been more interesting if you focused on that than instead of focusing on like nothing.
Maybe it like would have went there if the manga kept going, but it's, I have to seed a little bit of that ahead of time. I don't know why I'm thinking that this was supposed to go anywhere. I keep applying real story and narrative rules to this. It's like, how come they didn't foreshadow anything or have an interesting cold open?
Yeah.
Maybe this was never supposed to be interesting and it was just supposed to be cute girls almost kissing.
I feel like that is true. That was the main goal. And I feel like, yeah, I don't know. Things just kind of happen in this series.
I feel like another kind of missed opportunity. Sure, you be fluffy all you want. If you're not going to be interesting, you should be more funny. Like, it's almost funny. It's like adjacent to funny. There's like little things where it's just like, oh, they're going to be funny. And then they kind of just like.
This sort of felt more like a webcomic than an actual comic.
It's also like the pacing was weird, where it was very fast paced, but the pages, because the pages took very little time to read.
Yeah.
Which the art was good. We'll get in the positives, but it was like, it really just wanted to show off the art. And so the author seemed to not want to actually put dialogue or really show things in the series.
Yeah, I think like the backgrounds look nice too. Like the art is definitely very solid.
Why don't we move into what it did well?
A butt was coming.
Oh, what's your butt? What's your butt, Jess? What's your butt?
I do have a criticism with regards to the readability of certain panels when it comes to action shots. There's a couple different moments where they have like a little will they, won't they tumble around. And it's hard to figure out, like, okay, what happened there? Like actually bodily, how did that person move into this position? Like we're over here now. There was like a couple of instances, you know, compositionally where I was just really confused about the action.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
This author is not an action mangaka. They have problems with that, I suppose. A lot of stuff is ill-defined. Yeah, the fight scenes aren't great. I will say that.
The art is still pretty good, so why don't we get into what it did well?
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, go for it, my man.
The art's really cute. I don't know.
Just like you, Jordan.
Thank you, David. Just like you. It's not as thick as you, though. I think in general, the art is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I like the style.
Yeah, everything seems to be pretty on model. You have a pretty strong sense of the figure with each of the drawings, I suppose. And the comic itself is cute and sweet.
Hmm.
Once she realized that she wasn't being hypnotized, she's just a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
That was cute.
It was.
It was pretty obvious, but yes, it was cute, though. I was like, oh, no, she's not hypnotized. Absolutely not. She's just gay as hell.
The kiss was cute. Nah, it was. Yeah.
This rides the line pretty nicely between being cute and being like, oh, okay, homina, okay. Okay, that's a little hot, but it's just like, okay, wait a second. These are like 15-year-olds. What?
It's manga.
It's manga.
Manga.
We don't care.
We've seen a lot worse.
Yeah. This series at least wasn't offensive.
No, it could have been worse, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was the pedophile stuff, I guess.
She is.
That kind of comes with the territory of vampires, and it also comes with the territory oftentimes of just being taking place in a Japanese high school.
Yeah.
Like both those things combined, you know what's going to happen. You know what you're getting into here. It's going to have that in there, right? In some measure.
By our powers combined, we form sex offenders.
We form something that Western audiences don't know how to, you know, talk about with any tact.
I'm just imagining the vampire sex offender just keeps getting arrested and thrown in jail, but since they're immortal, they just keep waiting out their sentences.
Oh, God.
No, they just turn into mist and leave.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't jail a vampire.
And then the cop chasing the vampire suddenly develops feelings for him.
Just merges with his car.
Yeah.
And it's the prequel to Vampires.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gary Oldman. I literally, last night...
Gary Oldman.
I watched the Gary Oldman vampire movie.
Just to prepare.
Not that good, actually. I don't recommend.
Sounds like a flop,
yeah.
Honestly.
It has a pretty high IMDb rating. I'm like, really? It's only a half a point less good than Interview with the Vampire. And I'm like, that is just straight up wrong. Get out of here. That one had accents that made sense. Come on. The only good thing about that movie is if you want to see Keanu Reeves be handsome and do nothing else and have the funniest, worst accent. It's so funny. It made me feel a lot better about my own bad as hell British accent in my show. So that was good for me.
It's always good to hear worse accents. I was listening to an audiobook reading of Dracula by Christopher Lee, which
is
pretty cool, except he had to do a Texan accent.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, my God. Holy shit.
British people doing like American accents, I'm like so intrigued by. Sometimes they're great at it.
He was not.
Is Christopher Lee British? Hang on a second. Hang on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Christopher Lee's British. Yeah.
He is, right? Okay.
But yeah, so Jordan, sorry, what were you saying though about something you enjoyed about the series?
It's just cute. I think the love triangle started to be cute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then of course it went nowhere because the series ended.
I like the little like shopping date they have. I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for a shopping date. You know, that's cute. You get to see them in different outfits and blushing at each other and like complimenting each other on the outfits and stuff. And it's like, oh, that's no. Okay. Yeah. And I also like Miyoko's bat form. It's cute.
Yeah.
It is very kawaii.
Also, the series was pretty easy to read. It went by pretty quickly. It was paced decently.
It was like a 30-minute read.
Total breeze. Yeah, I just read it again this morning. Just zoomed by.
Just because you could. Just to flex on us.
Just because I could. I didn't learn anything new. I was just, damn, I really needed that cute vampire manga.
Your fix.
My fix of cute vampire cotton candy.
My vampire can't be this cute.
Oh, David, don't. Don't.
Well, all right. Why don't we on that note, why don't we get into where it could have gone?
Yeah.
So, Jess, what really stands out to you as some things you would have tweaked or extended the series to have made it more successful?
I think that there's like a lot of things. And of course, this is a lot of me just wishing it was a different genre or something.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I don't think it was really like intending to have a ton of intrigue or something. But I personally like a little intrigue in the stuff I read, even if it's like slightly horny. But I don't know.
Hey. Nothing wrong with that sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, that's my fetish is intrigue. But we could have not known she was a vampire for a goddamn minute or something. Like, right out of the gates.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Right out of the gates, you know exactly who they are and what they're about and, like, what they're doing. And it's just, like, nothing ever really goes anywhere with that. Of course, it's very short, so maybe it could have, of course. But I don't know. Come on, you could have did a little will they, won't they with is she a vampire? Maybe you could have had a cast of, like, suspects who is the vampire. And they're all, like, harem-y and flirty and stuff like that. And it's, oh, who do you think is the vampire of this crew in this high school that she's supposed to be hunting a vampire in? That could have been neat.
That I think that would have been a really great element, just some sense of intrigue. I also just, there's so many cute things they could have done with the series. Like, I think a really low-hanging fruit is they could have done the selfie together and the vampire girlfriend doesn't show up in the camera.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's such like a fun idea. And that's like the energy the series had. But it just doesn't do things like that.
Mm-hmm. And like having just watched Bram Stoker's Dracula, they did that absolutely goddamn constantly. They were constantly like, he doesn't show up in reflections. Oh, his shadow does different stuff. And it was like borderline pretty funny when his shadow was doing different stuff. There's so much joke potential in this type of creature. They really didn't go for it. They did the holy water gun gag.
Yeah.
Haha, that's a way to kill a vampire with a water gun.
Or is it? It seemed like it just stung a little bit.
Yeah, the vampires didn't seem to actually have any weaknesses.
Not really.
The cross kind of made her faint for 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. And the garlic or whatever.
The garlic just smelled bad.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, is this girl dangerous? There's even like, you know, after the shopping scene, it's like,
yeah,
is she even worth killing? She's like a normal girl. She's not harming anybody. What's the point? Do I even need to kill this girl? And it's like, yeah, I'd like to ask that myself and not just have it like told to me. But maybe she could be a little dangerous. I don't know. She sucks this girl's blood a bunch of times and nothing bad happens to her and she doesn't turn into a vampire or anything like that.
Yeah.
And she's also like, I get blood at a blood bank. So it removes like, so she's not harassing anyone else.
Yeah, she has a friend that works at a blood bank to hook her up. No tension, no friction.
Yeah, she says, oh, I would never kill you, Saki, because I love you. Maybe she kills other girls that she's not in love with.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have a reason where we're just, as he said, where we're just not like, yeah, don't kill her, Saki. Why?
Yeah, there's like an implied menace just because she's a vampire, but it's like she's clearly not dangerous. So it's like if she was a little dangerous, maybe that could have been even hotter, guys. What if that like leaned into that danger? I don't know. There's a presumption of danger that isn't actually present in the actual story.
Would you too have liked it if Saki genuinely was trying to kill Miyoko the entire run of the series instead of giving up?
She gave up pretty quick, didn't she?
Yeah.
It's an asterisk. It's like, oh, if anyone's going to kill her, it's me, because she like saves her from the other vampire hunter. And it's like, no, this is my prey. I'm going to kill her. So it's not like she changes her mind on it, but it's just like, this is pretty weak.
What if they didn't immediately say, oh, no, I'm not controlling you. I can't do that. What if they kind of let it go for a little bit? There's this concept of you start a story at the most interesting part. Like maybe when she's, as we've said, the intrigue, trying to figure out who the vampire is, trying to figure out maybe like who's leaving these bodies. Maybe there's another vampire who's evil.
If there is any friction in the story, if there is any conflicts, they are resolved like the next panel. We are not going to have any issues here.
Our general criticism is, I don't know, maybe add a plot to the series.
Yeah, je ne sais quoi.
Maybe have some kind of plot. Is that the je ne sais quoi, David, having a plot?
Yes.
They don't even have like midterms to stress out about. Like there's nothing in here.
Well, they talk about Saki's like a 300 IQ student. So they're like, she'll never. So that's how they're like, well, school is never a concern for this series.
Well, they have a joke where, yeah, Saki gets like 98s on everything, but Miyoko gets hundreds because she's taken it so long, which goes back to, has she been held back like 20 years at this one school where she knows all the midterms?
That's the exact same thing that people level against Twilight. And that's why vampires in high school is just a funny concept.
Yeah. Like,
who would want to be in high school forever? That's the world's worst place to be.
Right.
You could just go to college. It's way easier to just do that.
Yeah. Like, Edward, just like work at a fucking like, store or something. Yeah. Like, you don't have to go to school. Like, why?
Especially with the money that Edward has. Anyway, this isn't about Twilight. Anyway.
Yeah. Gary Oldman was not going to high school, basically. You know, like, he was being young, but he wasn't being, like, high school young and fucking around there.
Oh, God, could you imagine? Gary Oldman in high school.
I also think, by the way, it would have been really funny if they had, like, other monster lesbian friends.
Oh, I wish.
So it would have been, like, imagine a werewolf and a cat girl.
Isn't this just one of the Bratz toy lines you're describing?
Oh, nice.
I think
yeah.
so. Yeah.
I think there's like Monster High or something like that. And there is just like, you know, a Dracula girlfriend.
He would have added something, though.
Or Monster Prom.
Monster Prom. Oh, we've played Monster Prom. That's a great game.
Yeah.
Oh, I never get asked out. But I do have miscellaneous thoughts. So how about we get into that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually interesting that there is a bonus comic by Tama Usi, who did Cheerful Amnesia, which is a much better cotton candy Yuri series that I have actually read. And I was like, wait a second, I recognize that art style. So it was just fun to see that I knew one of the creators of the bonus content that they added into the volumes for the series.
Was that the, I knew you as a child, and so because I knew you as a child, we must be together when you're also kind of still a child?
Let me double check which one she made.
I feel like vampire relationships are inherently have some kind of age gap.
Yeah.
I mean, vampire mortal relationships, yes.
That's true, yeah.
Then, you know, we get Anne Rice over here.
Oh, God.
Making, like, a child into a vampire, and then that child is all spending eternity being like, this fucking sucks, nobody wants to fuck me because I look like I'm 7, and it's like, yeah, why'd you do that? Why'd you write that?
For the record, by the way, Jordan, so the bonus content is literally Miyoko just starts undressing Saki.
And oh, then yeah, yeah, yeah.
It has the comment from the author saying, beautiful girls assaulting each other, I think it's great.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. yeah, fantastic. Thank you, author.
This was the most skin shown in the manga. Like, actually, them in their bras is the most you see.
The author of Cheerful Amnesia is very horny. Let me be clear.
You know, comes with the territory of making vampire Yuri, I suppose.
It should, at least.
Yeah. Otherwise, what the hell are we even doing here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, did you guys have any other miscellaneous thoughts?
Imagine you're just, like, drawing Yuri manga being like, God, I hate my job.
Too many lesbians.
I hate this subject matter.
But you're just so good at it that it's like...
You're cursed to draw Yuri for your entire career.
Born to kill, cursed to draw Yuri. 100 million dead lesbian.
Undead lesbian.
Oh, yeah.
True!
All right. This is a fucking... Jordan, we haven't even talked about the vampire series we tried writing like 15 years ago.
Oh, where we had the Space Draculas?
Yeah, so it was called Cracker Fist and White Lightning versus the Space Draculas, Voidburger, and it was just two Kung Fu masters fighting Draculas from space.
For some reason, we didn't keep going with that. I don't know why.
I don't know. It was a Blaxploitation parody, and their master's name was Blakesploitation.
Yeah, I could see why you stopped.
Yeah, it was a good idea to stop, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Especially since Blackula already exists.
That's
true! You're kind
of
going back to the same well that has been done before.
Well, there's a lot of vampire lesbian content, so, you know, there's only so much you could do with vampires under the sun. You can play that rimshot sound now if you want.
Hey.
I don't have a rimshot sound.
What?
Do you not have a rimshot sound on my...
I thought that just comes by default in a soundboard.
No, I mean, this is a custom rig, man, but no, I just have I Love Eggs. And
oh, well, then that's the closest we got. Play that one.
Is this Squeepoo? I forget.
Hey! Yeah,
it was Void Burger leaving after my terrible
after she learned about Cracker Fist and White Lightning. Bye!
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 No, not yet! Fuck!
No. Okay, alright. Does anyone have any other actual miscellaneous thoughts, or should I read off what Maxie B's got tinkering in their brain?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So from the wonderful Maxie B, the author is very online, and you can actually find a link to their Twitter in our show notes, which is found on the Patreon. So they just post constantly on Twitter a lot. They have a Pixiv, and yeah, Maxie B said that is the whole sentence, just saying that you can see all of their shit online. The intention of this title is to be like, "You're killing me" in English, but the author interpreted that as being, "I love you to death." English is not the author's strong suit, but I kind of get it.
You're killing me. You're just killing me.
Jerry, you're killing me with this Yuri.
Gold, Jerry, gold.
Chapter 1, which is not a part of Volume 1, which had already come out, is only 6 pages and immediately followed by a cancellation notice. Apparently, the cancellation is described as being at the author's convenience, and in a long-since-deleted tweet, the author explains that it had become difficult to continue due to their circumstances and apologizes to readers. So, yeah, the author actually just kind of quit making this versus them being canceled. I don't understand how it was hard to make this series.
Power to you, though. I mean, if you got too much on your plate, you got too much on your plate.
Hey, there's a lot of series where I would rather them just call it quits.
Like 99% of things we cover.
Yeah, it's not like this was like going somewhere and people were really on the edge of their seats for some sort of conclusion.
Where am I going to find vampire lesbians now?
We've read series where the author is just like, fuck, I don't know where this is going. Bye, everybody. I'm canceling this.
One of which was very good. Tricks dedicated to witches.
Yeah. The author just straight up was like, I don't have any more ideas. I'm done here. Sorry.
Appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
And finally, vampirism, lesbianism actually have a long history from Carmilla to Dracula's daughter to Hammer Horror to Ugh, lesbian vampire killers. And this manga is no exception to this. Vampires, the vexations of a shut-in vampire princess, kiss the scars of the girls. I won't let mistress suck my blood. Loads of stuff out of there. So
I won't let mistress suck my blood.
I super love that format of title.
Yeah.
And when it comes up, like, is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon? Like, I just love, like, the idea of having a super long descriptive sentence of a title for something.
What is it about, like, my mom and her, like,
two-hit combo attacks?
Combo attacks or something?
Yeah.
I took a horror movies class in college. Boy, that was a sought-after seat.
Ooh.
I did vampire studies. Or, sorry, zombie studies.
But it was just like about like how, you know, horror movies tend to like reflect the environment of, the social environment at the time and what people are scared of and all that stuff. Basic stuff. But like vampires were, you know, they're pretty old, you know, this goes back. And it's kind of just generally like a fear of like foreigners, but it kind of turned into more of a fear of queer people like as time went on. And it's just the vampires got even sexier and even weirder and even like more super duper gay.
Oh, yeah.
Than they were to begin with, because like being gay was also like considered like a, I don't know, a foreign idea. Like, oh, those queer, strange foreigners with their peculiar ways and stuff like that. And now here we are today in high school.
I mean, hey, Bram Stoker, not a straight man, just saying.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Big if true.
Yeah.
And didn't he, I think he hung out with Edgar Allan Poe a little bit.
He wasn't gay.
No, I was just saying.
Okay.
I just like that they were friends.
I think Bram Stoker was really into Walt Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it Walt Whitman?
Or the guy who wrote The Little Mermaid, like, stalk someone?
Yeah.
The Little Mermaid is very much a story about how Hans Christian Andersen's, about the man that Hans Christian Andersen was in love with, was getting married.
Yeah.
That is very much, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you know there's an RPG? Someone made a tabletop RPG where it's like, he won't leave my house. It's like, he's in my front yard and I can't get him to leave, and it's a roleplay.
Is it a one-page role-playing game?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know where else that could go.
Yeah, no, Bram Stoker was in love with Walt Whitman to the point where it is speculated that he based Dracula on him because he viewed Walt Whitman as like the ideal perfect man or something.
As we all do.
Yeah, that's like me and Jordan.
Yeah, exactly.
Googling Walt Whitman. What did he look like? How hot was he? Not very. Wow.
Yeah.
God.
He's basically a really ratty Santa Claus, if I had to describe him.
Yeah,
folks.
Basically.
Presumably he was young at some point.
I'm also thinking about Jordan, how friend of the show Shen of Shen Comics, how his latest comic that came out was someone reading his mind, it just says his two thoughts are lesbians and depression.
That goes into vampire lesbians very easily, is all I'm saying.
Yes. So we told him he was very interested in the series that we're covering. All right. Does anyone have anything else, or should we go into final verdict?
No, go ahead.
All right. Let's get started with some 6-word summaries from the community. From Tucker, sucking the excrement from queer romance. Or sorry, sucking the excitement from queer romance.
I was like, whoa.
Oh my God, David. I caught myself.
They don't do that.
Whoa.
It's a different manga.
Oh God. Maxi B, cancellation. More like lesbian read death.
What?
Red death.
Oh, sorry. More like lesbian red death.
Hey.
Or paladin. Good luck writing the plot summary. Yeah, Jordan, get fucked, buddy. No, you did a great job.
There was not much to do.
This was short plots. Chicken Warlord says, it's all bite and no bark, and only succeeded in killing my interest. Dude Rock says, the offer's barely disguised, biting fetish. Glornak, a better love story than Twilight. Greg Potter says, Vampire Hunter unfortunately into being bitten. Maxi B has another one, says, about the same level as Twilight.
Wow, a little bit of a conflict there.
Yeah.
fight.
Go!
Fight.
Portal Man says, ask for consent before drinking blood, and why sake sucks at vampire hunting. Quack says, Vampire Yuri's never been this boring.
Ooh.
Red Blade has actually a worse love story than Twilight.
Whoa, fight, okay, fight, we got fight, all fight, three fight. Arguments here. God damn.
The entire spectrum of feelings for Twilight.
And is this consensual non-consent roleplay? Resident Warhammer Nerd says, the vampire series sucks. No bite.
Boom.
Spubby says, doesn't suck. It scrapes and licks. And then they have a gift from the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. Spike, the fetish dream is killing me. And finally, T. Wolfwood says, my vampire lesbian experience with loneliness.
Or,
hey.
Manga was killing me with boredom. That's a good one, T. Wolfwood, because I actually brought that up in the chibi, so good thought. That was actually what my 6-word summary was going to be before he wrote that one, so I had to think of a different one.
How about you, David? What are your 6-word summaries?
My first one is, the gay vampire agenda wins again.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Vampire Hunter with Lady D. So that's a reference to Vampire Hunter D, but I think it didn't work out so well, so that's why I said it second.
With Lady D from Resident Evil for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't see it, but all right.
Well, she's a vampire.
Okay, all right.
I was just making a joke because there's Vampire Hunter D and then Lady D.
7 feet tall, though.
Yeah. Could you imagine, though? Oh, my God. That would make the series go.
What if a woman was really tall?
Whoa.
What?
And Jordan, what was yours?
No, don't suck my blood. Blush.
Baka. And then Jess, how about yours?
And since I wrote mine just now, I just said, I wish this was Tokyo Ghoul.
Unravel just... Dylan said, like, put in a sound clip of Unravel that we legally can play.
I watched a decent chunk of Tokyo Ghoul, and also, like, the whole time I was like, I wish this was not this at the same time. So there's this kind of, like, je ne sais quoi of, like, nobody's doing, like, vampire-ish, zombie-ish, in high school-ish, trying to be normal-ish, romance-ish stuff in the way that I wish it was doing.
That's a good point.
It's, like, a different combination of that stuff than
yeah.
what we've seen.
Yeah.
So now, I guess, is this a flop or not? I kind of thought it wasn't a flop, and then it was discussed more. I was like, oh, yeah, this is kind of shit. So I'm going to say it's a regular flop. How about you, Jordan?
I was in the exact same boat, actually, because my issue is that I wanted more, kind of.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the author was going to give it more,
mm-hmm.
is the problem. So I guess it is kind of a flop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a flop, and it's mostly, yeah, like you said, Jordan, I want more, and there's different definitions of more. Like, I either want more story, or I want more horny, and it's kind of in this uncanny valley of not doing either well, and so, like, why would I be invested in either, you know?
Inside of you are two wolves. One is horny.
The horny one and the plot intrigue one.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it just feels like if given more time, the author wasn't gonna give this series what it needed.
No.
So, Jess, what would you say someone should check out instead of this?
The first 3 episodes of Tokyo Ghoul.
Ooh.
I really wanted that to be something, I don't know.
I really did, too.
I really wanted it to be. I really thought it was going for this, and this is a bit of an aside. I really thought Tokyo Ghoul was going for a eating disorder allegory, because it was really focused on, like, eating, consuming, and the morality of it, and, like, weird stuff like that. I thought it was going to go for something like that, and then it was just like, oh, no, it's a lot of drama and fighting, and, oh, okay, fine.
Oh, man, it's just a shonen manga. God damn
fine.
It.
Fine. And if you want lesbian stuff, I don't read a ton of that.
No, it's fine.
I don't read a ton of manga to begin with.
Hey, it doesn't have to be manga, actually. I'm not going to recommend a manga. It's going to be something else.
Which one's going to recommend a fucking painting again?
Yeah, nah, check it. Nah, yeah, check out fucking whatever. Satyr Devouring is fucking sons. Anyway. I knew that Jess wasn't going to say Bram Stoker's Dracula, for one thing.
No, I don't recommend that one. Interview with the Vampire. Watch that instead if you want horny vampires.
There
absolutely.
We go.
And if you just want a horny comic that is also very fucking funny, but is explicit, I would recommend Crime Hot by Alec Robin.
Mmm. Nice. I would recommend, actually, hey, you want monsters? You want high school? You want teen hormones? Check out Ginger Snaps.
I've heard good things about that.
Oh, that's such a good movie. I love that movie.
That movie's so good.
It's great. Also, I want to say Jennifer's Body.
Ooh.
Haven't seen that one, but I've heard of it.
That's
yeah.
A vampire in fucking high school. That's a good one.
And it has a lesbian scene.
That's a good one because she's a recent vampire, so it makes sense that she's in high school. She's not hanging out here for 400 years for no fucking reason because she's a pedophile.
God.
Yeah, and then I have one recommendation in particular. So if you want to see some horny and funny high school ramps, there's 100 Girlfriends, which is really probably the dumbest manga I've ever read in my entire life.
Is that the 100 Girlfriends who
really love you? Jess, are you familiar with that manga?
The name is ringing a bell, but I don't know anything about it. I mean, I think the title probably tells me a lot, though.
Yeah, so it's a guy who the god of love or fate fucked up his like paperwork for this guy. So instead of having one soulmate, he has 100. It's all about him falling in love with 100 people at the same time.
I love clerical errors that cause like a cascade of mistakes.
And he meets God and God's just like, my bad. So it's really stupid.
Didn't we read that series? No, it was called Love Rush. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Love Rush is different.
Love Rush is different and worse.
The 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You.
Yes, yes. Yes, it's really stupid. Also, I want to just give a shout out to Nick and Lover, which is my favorite gag comic I'm reading right now.
It's so good.
Jess, I know, have you ever read the Perry Bible Fellowship?
Oh, yeah.
It's literally if the dude from the Perry Bible Fellowship made a manga. Got a very similar art style, too. Huh. And it's just the stupidest shit. I guess one like good example from an earlier comic is so one of the characters is trying to find something under a vending machine and they're trying to figure out what to do. And the other character has like a light bulb, you know, like as a comic, like a light bulb. And he grabs the light bulb and uses it to illuminate under the vending machine.
That's fun. Yeah. I like that. I like those Hammer Space jokes where someone just conjures something out of nowhere. Looney Tunes stuff. What was the name of this one?
Nick and Lever.
Nick and Lever?
Yeah.
Very well done pencil drawings, too,
I gotta say. Oh, yeah, look at this art style. Damn.
Yeah.
It's legitimately, if you had told me the guy from the Perry Bible Fellowship just, like, was it fucking, like, witness protection and moved to Japan and made this, I would believe you.
I see what you mean about that, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. All right. So, Jordan, I would say this is not the worst thing we have ever covered on this show. Would you agree?
I would say so as well. Also not the best thing, but hey, you know.
Can't always be.
Can't always be Time Paradox Ghost Rider.
Oh, God. All right. Well, let's get into wrap up and end this show. How's that sound?
Let's do it.
Cool.
Jess, thank you so much. We could not have asked for a more exciting guest to be on our 100th episode.
Oh, shucks.
Keep this between us, but Jordan has been, you have been very high on Jordan's like wish list for guests on the
show.
Yes,
it's true.
But just keep that between us.
Oh,
thanks, David. It's embarrassing me. embarrassing me in front of Senpai, David.
No, that is very nice of you to say. I'm honored. I did not know I was going to be on the 100th episode. Now I feel like out of place and special.
Yeah, Jordan didn't
you.
Know either. I was a little surprised when I arranged that for episode 100. Yeah.
Also, congratulations on 100 episodes. Oh my God.
Thank you. Oh my God.
Legitimate.
Oh, school tenders will be at that before you know it.
Oh, God. I'll be 45 by the time that happens.
Oh, God.
We're up to episode 12, 13? I don't know when this comes out, though, so I might be...
This will be out in 2 weeks from recording.
Probably 14 then by then. I don't know.
Nice.
Every day you're getting closer.
And Jess, where can they find Skull Tenders and all of the other great things you do?
Oh boy, you can find Skull Tenders, which is a actual play D&D podcast, and don't run away, come back, wait. It's good though, it's funny though, I swear to God.
It's pretty good, I can attest to that, I've listened to it, pretty good.
you know, it's like, it's more like a radio play that was made up on the fly. You know, so we make all this shit up on the fly. We have a bunch of fun. We do a bunch of intrigue. And then I put a bunch of sound effects and music all over this thing. So it sounds professional.
Can you give us a sound fact right now for the audience?
Oh, a sound fact right now? This sound is my favorite sound in the world, and I try really hard to put it in every episode somewhere, but it's hard to tell where it is because I fuck up the sound and make it sound different. So
it just so organically fit into our recording right now. How do you do it?
Yeah.
How do I do what? The squeepoo sound?
Just fitting in those sound effects.
Nothing happened. I just opened the door, actually.
Yeah. My dog turned her head. She was very confused.
I would love to know the history of this sound. God, I'm just fixated on it. It's all over. If you watch the X-Files, God, every episode there's a goddamn squeepoo in that thing.
The Whalum scream of door opening sounds.
Everywhere. I love it. It's like I'm seeing an old friend from across the way every time I hear it. But yeah, like I try to like, I slow it down. I put a bunch of weird reverb on it. Like I speed it up. I only use half of the front half or the back half of it. So it's like Where's Waldo, but audio style.
Remixing,
if you
want to
look out
effects.
For my squeepoos.
Well, I'm definitely going to do that now.
Yeah.
But you can listen to Skull Tenders anywhere you get fine podcasts, basically. It's on your Spotify, your Apple Podcasts. We got an RSS feed, all the goods, basically.
I love it. And it's always great to have a new high quality actual like a radio drama. Let's play, but that doesn't make sense.
A let's play of D&D. Let's play.
Yeah.
It kind of is, actually. Hang on a second.
I salute you as doing the editing. Jordan and I do a monthly D&D thing with some of our podcast friends, but we're like, yeah, no one actually wants to edit this, so we just do it for fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a nightmare. Don't do it. Yeah. Don't edit D&D. It's
yeah,
a lot of work.
I was like, yeah. They're like, David, you edit Shonen Floppy. I was like, God, no. Absolutely not on your life am I editing this.
You got to really commit. You got to be really hyper fixated like me on the podcast.
Exactly.
To be like, I don't want to kill myself. This rules, actually.
But that is fantastic. Jordan, thank you so much for making the opening ending theme, being a great co-host and helping with the editing.
Oh, thank you so much for your editing and putting the podcast together and, you know, just for being a friend, David.
Aw, man. Right back at you, big guy.
Travel up the road and back again.
Aww.
Props to Mer Lyle for the awesome cover art. Find her online at Lyle Mer and Nigel for being our generous art benefactor. Thank you, Dylan, for assistance with editing. I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun with sound effects on this one. You can find his podcast, Anime Out of Context, at animeoutofcontext.com. Thanks to Tucker and Maxie B for assistance with pronunciation, translation, and other miscellaneous research. Find us on X at Shonen Flopcast, Tumblr, Shonen-Flop, and our website, ShonenFlop.com. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And just a reminder, if you are listening to us on Google Podcasts, that is shutting down, so try one of those other spots.
That's shutting down. Look at also Skull Tenders is also on X and Blue Sky
and
those things.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. TikTok, sort of. I think we got banned. I don't know.
No. What'd you do on TikTok?
Too much full frontal nudity.
I don't fucking know. It's driving me crazy, actually. Like, I'm trying to do an appeal and it's just not going nowhere. I don't know what I did.
God.
Maybe we didn't say unalive. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. Shit. We're getting banned from TikTok for the name of the series.
Oh, God. Yeah. Unaliving me. Shit.
That's what millennial Britney Spears saying. It's unaliving me. I still can't sing that right. It's okay. Anyway, come join the Shonen Flop Discord. Open to everyone, patron or not. Come hang out with us. Talk about anime, games, or whatever else is on your mind. You can find a link to it in the show notes or on our site. It's a great time. I think we're at like 600 people. And yeah, it's good. Good community. And if you've been to join the podcast and want to help us keep going, consider subscribing to our Patreon. Wouldn't be able to keep the show running without their support. You've got over 100 hours of exclusive content. We've got like over like 20 or 30 exclusive episodes. Jordan, what are we dumping in April for our wonderful patrons?
Oh my God, we're finally finishing up the Ichinose Family Sins.
Deadly Sins. Jordan cannot say the name of that series for all 3 months.
The Ichinose Family Deadly Sins. It is impossible for me to say, apparently.
And we are joined by friend of the show, Bambi Raptor. And you can, along with that, be listening to these recordings live, listening to the warm-up audio, some deleted scenes, seeing our notes, and helping us pick what series we'll cover next. Find it at patreon.com/shonenflop. And on that note, I want to read off some of our wonderful patrons. Starting off our dolphin dads, we have Glornak, Rachel, my wonderful wife. She just got into grad school. I'm very proud of her. And that's not how nipples work. They've forgotten how to nipple. Moving on down to the ravioli tier, where my little goblin dog had a big hike yesterday and all she was snoozy. I feel like I read that like that was the name of a patron, but that was just a fact about ravioli I was saying.
Yeah, I thought that that was just a patron.
We have Chris, Eva, Lady T, Matt T, and Trevor Schechner. And finally, we have the King of the Forest, where I have 090Z, Bandit Stoof, Jordan's wonderful girlfriend.
Oh my God.
Welcome back.
Yes, she had issues with Patreon recognizing her new credit card, but I suppose that got fixed.
I'm so glad. Eric Adams, Jacob Andrew Galloway, Justin Hefner, Kirby Mont, Marty, Max Baker, Riley 314, Sarah Hydra, T. Wolfwood, and Tommy Boy. And thank you so much to our Galactic Ball Federation officers and our Beast Children.
Can't believe Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, right on your Patreon.
The one in the same.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Rachel's actually met him, and I think he talked to her a lot about cryptocurrency.
That's so weird. That's weird, but not shocking.
It tracks. He's weird.
Yeah, he's not a good mayor. Anyway, I live in New York City, so I can say that.
Mm-hmm. I'm from New York City.
Oh, really? What part?
Staten Island. The one that doesn't count.
What we do in the shadows is actually about vampires in Staten Island.
I know, they're in Staten Island. This is why I need to watch the damn show. It's in Staten Island. Nothing takes place in Staten Island, for fuck's sake.
I've never been. I should go at some point.
Except the king of Staten Island.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's one nice park. You're not missing much.
I heard there's a good zoo.
It's good for the reptiles.
Okay, there we go.
The fish
good.
Are sad. You don't Aww. Need to see the aquarium part. The fish are sad.
Jordan, is there anything you want to toss in?
Yeah, hey, do you like vampires?
No.
Well, whatever. Screw you. Check out Mission Ignition, where me and some of my friends talk about a show that only I watched called Vampires.
And Casey Green's watched it, too.
Casey Green has also seen it, bizarrely enough.
And I think Chip Cheesem, because you've made him watch
it. That's true.
Right, it's all coming back to vampires.
Because vampires all the way down.
Although I believe of the three of us, I'm the only one who caught it on TV during its original broadcast.
Oh, you should see a doctor about that.
Yeah,
you were the one.
I was the one person who saw it, and I've never recovered mentally or emotionally.
We can tell.
I understand.
Check it out.
All right.
The podcast. And if you want to watch a fever dream, watch it, I guess.
I'm surprised that wasn't your recommendation this episode.
Oh, you know.
Let's get into the sign-off. So, thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next Monday as we give our first thoughts on Marshall Master, assuming I can't believe, though, it's been 100 episodes. This has been David.
This has been Jordan.
And this has been Jess.
And you've been listening to Shonen Flop.
Keep on flopping, floppers, for the 100th time!
Yeah!
Wow!
You should go, yeah,
I can't believe David actually did 100.
Wow.